Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching today from Luke chapter 13. It's the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, the first few verses here, about from verse 1 to verse 5. And the title of the message is Repent or Perish. Repent or Perish. Now, hearing that title, you may say, oh no, the preacher's going to preach a hellfire and brimstone message today or something like that. Well, you know, they used to talk about the old time preachers, you know, who would angrily sometimes preach those kinds of messages and to scare people and all of that. I think about when I was in high school, in our literature books, we had a message that a preacher preached. His name was Jonathan Edwards. You may have heard of him. It was called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. But that's not what I'm going to do. I am going to talk about the danger of dying in our sins and being eternally separated from God. That's hell. That's perishing. That's what he's talking about. And certainly that's something we want to avoid. But one of the ways that he relates that here is in view of the issue of repentance. And repentance in the Bible is part of the fruit that God brings sinners to that comes out of the death of Christ. Faith in Christ, we call it, and the Bible calls it, and repentance of dead works and idolatry. And that repentance, that faith, is the revealed knowledge by which the Holy Spirit convinces God's people, the elect, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Salvation, conditioned on Christ who fulfilled those conditions, that all of my sins are forgiven on a just ground, the blood of Christ, that I stand before God justified, forgiven and declared righteous, not by my works, not by my decisions, not by my experiences, but by the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God, the gospel, the Bible calls it in the gospel, the righteousness of God revealed, which is the entire merit, value, power of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ, to save his sheep, his church, his people from their sins. And am I part of that blessing? Well, if I am, God will send the Spirit to bring me under the preaching of the gospel, and he'll give me life from the dead. It's called the new birth. You must be born again, or you cannot see or hear or enter the kingdom of God. And he'll give me life under the preaching of the truth, the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. And he'll give me the gift of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith. And by faith he brings me to see the awfulness, the sinfulness, not only of my immorality, not only of my law-breaking, as we say it, but also of my best efforts to save myself by my works. That's repentance of dead works. What are dead works? Let me put it to you this way. If you're seeking to be saved and to be right with God by your obedience, your attempted obedience to the law, that's a dead work. Because you see, we're sinners. And we've all come short of the glory of God. That means we miss the mark. You see, you need to understand that God requires perfection of righteousness. Now you may say, well, that's unreasonable because I can't attain that. That's why we need salvation by grace, friend. Grace, Romans 5:21 says, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I cannot attain righteousness. There's none righteous, no, not one. But God has provided righteousness for His people in the person and work of Christ. So where can I find the perfection of the righteousness of the law that God requires in order for me to be justified, forgiven of my sins, declared righteous in God's sight, saved? Where can I find that? In Christ. Not in yourself, not in me, not in the church, not in your works, not in your decisions, not in your free will that's in bondage to sin, but in Christ. And when God shows you that, when He reveals that to you, He brings you to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works and idolatry. You say, why idolatry? I'm not an idolater. Let me tell you something. And if you think now that God will accept you and bless you based upon your works, that God that you're looking to is an idol. Now that may sound harsh, but the true and living God of this book, the only true and living God, will not accept that. The only way that we can be accepted before God, the true God, is in Christ. Any other way will bring you to an idol, a false God, a false Christ. Now with that in mind, let's look at Luke 13. And Christ is teaching a very, very important lesson here that we all need to see. And He uses two examples in their history to prove this. And here's what He says in verse 1, Luke 13. There were present at that season some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now this was an episode in their history that they told the Lord Jesus about, of Galileans who were coming to sacrifice animals. That was under the old covenant now. They were coming to God with the blood of bulls and of goats. And Pilate, you remember Pontius Pilate, he sent soldiers to kill these people. Now, I don't know what all the reasons that all this happened. There may have been insurrection and rebellion against Rome, or Pilate may have put down a law or something. But this is something that actually happened. And so this is an act of high sin of Pilate against these people. And it says in verse 2, and Jesus answering said unto them. Now what happened? Pilate killed them and mingled their blood with the blood of their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans, the ones that were slaughtered, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? When you hear about something that goes on like that, an act of human depravity, what we would call it, human slaughter. You know, we talk about the history of man as a history written in blood and slaughter, cruelty. And here these Galileans, for whatever reason, Pilate killed them all. Now, when you look at something like that and you think about it and you make a judgment, do you suppose that those Galileans were greater sinners than the ones whom Pilate did not kill, who survived? Have you ever seen somebody who was cruelly treated that way and even thought, well, they must have done something really bad or that wouldn't have happened? Now, that's a natural way of thinking. Sometimes we don't think that way. But look what Christ says in verse 3 of Luke 13. He says, I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, what's he teaching there? He's teaching that we're not to look at, you know, when we look at people and say, well, they got what they deserved. Well, they must have done something really bad. Well, somebody might be able to reason themselves out of that situation, but look at the second thing that he says in verse 4. He mentions another historical event, and he says, or those 18, there were 18 people upon whom the tower of Siloam fell. A tower in Siloam fell disastrously upon 18 people and slew them. Now think about that. Now that's what we would call a natural disaster. And that kind of hits home a little bit more maybe for us, because I was thinking about this as I was studying for this message. You know, back years ago when Hurricane Katrina came through New Orleans. Now I heard at least two, probably more than this, television preachers, when they were talking about this, what we call an act of God. Now all things are acts of God, but you know, the insurance companies, they call that an act of God or an accident. And here this tornado or hurricane rather came through New Orleans and killed many people. And I heard some preachers say, well, now New Orleans is such a sinful city, and God brought judgment down on New Orleans. Well, I would agree New Orleans is a sinful city. But I also agree that every city in this world is a sinful city. You know why? Because cities are made up of people. And people are sinners. They may be religious sinners. Or they may be sinners like in New Orleans who go to the Mardi Gras or whatever they do. But this is the problem, see. These preachers, they say, well, God brought judgment upon New Orleans. New Orleans got what it deserved. It's such a sinful city. Sin city, they call it. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah were sinful cities. And God did bring judgment down on them. But look at what Christ says on this natural disaster. Look at it again, verse 4. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners? And the word for sinners there is a debtor. That they owed a debt to God's justice above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Now think about it. Here's Siloam, and then you talk about Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of God, the city of David. Now think about it. He said, do you think Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem, were better than the people that the Tower of Siloam fell on? That they, those who died under the Tower of Siloam, they were greater sinners than Jerusalem? And he says in verse 5, I tell you, nay, no, but except you repent, you people of Jerusalem, you religious sinners, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, one of the things that he's dealing with here is man's evil, self-righteous judgment. You remember over in Matthew chapter 7, the beginning of that chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you'll be judged yourself. That's basically what he's saying. And a lot of people look at that verse and they say, well, we can't judge anything at all. No, that's not what it's saying. That's one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. What he's forbidding there in Matthew 7:1 is self-righteous judgment. And that's what he's talking about here. And here's what he's saying. Now listen to me very carefully here. Whenever we look at other people who are, let's say, openly immoral, great sinners, and we look at those people and say, well, they're lost or they're going to hell because they are great sinners, you know what we've done? We've just condemned ourselves. Now, that's right. It's not that we cannot recognize openly immoral sins and say they're wrong. But when we judge such things in ways that say, well, I know I'm not lost, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven because I'm better than they, I'm not as sinful as they, then that's self-righteous judgment by which we condemn ourselves. Here's what I'm saying. We are all sinners. And you say, well, I'm not as sinful as that one, or I'm not as sinful as that one. I know. I had a man tell me one time, he said, I know I'm not perfect, but I've not done anything that deserves hell. I've not done anything bad enough. Well, my friend, that's self-righteous judgment. He needed to repent. Because here's what the Bible teaches. That if God were to give any of us, me, you, whoever, churchgoers, Mardi Gras growers, if God were to give any of us what we have earned and what we deserve, it would be perishing in hell. Do you believe that? If you don't, except you repent, you'll likewise perish. That's what he's saying. You see, this repentance is a gift of God that comes by the Holy Spirit that brings about a change of heart and mind. That's what it is. Most people, when they look at repentance, they say, well, I need to repent of being a bad person, an immoral person. I got to quit smoking. I got to quit drinking. I got to quit doing this, that, and the other. That's not repentance. That's reformation. And reformation will accompany salvation. But that's not repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for repentance, repent, would be a change of direction. Like a 180-degree turn. You're going north and you turn completely around and you go south. In the New Testament, the word is a change of mind. How you think. And how we think. It's not just an intellectual thing now or a mental thing. Even though it is that the mind is involved. But it's a change of mind that brings about a change of judgment. It's kind of like the old guy said one time, he said, there but for the grace of God go I. What is grace? It's God giving me what I don't deserve and what I have not earned. For by grace are you saved. Through faith, that's not of yourselves, not even faith is of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul wrote in the book of Romans chapter 9, when God said, it's not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. You see, grace is God giving a sinner who deserves nothing but death and hell, who has earned nothing but death and hell, God giving that sinner salvation and all the blessings and all the benefits of salvation based on not their works or their decisions, but based on the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Christ freely imputed and received by God-given faith. That's what grace is. Mercy is God not giving us what we've deserved, what we deserve and what we've earned, which is death and hell. But his mercy is given to sinners on a just ground, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And if you think it's based on anything else, if you think it's based on your works, your decisions, your religiosity, your baptism, your obedience, your prayers, if you think it's based on anything but the blood and righteousness of Christ, I would tell you, except you repent, you will likewise perish. Your thinking has to be changed on that issue. Now, it takes a work of the power and grace of God to change a sinner's mind in that issue. The Apostle John spoke of that in John 16, verses verses 8 through 11. You can read that passage. I won't open and read it. But what he's talking about is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is sent by God to convict us, and that's what that is he changes our mind and our heart through the Word of God when he shows us the glory of the person and work of Christ. What does it take to save me from sins? What does it take to make me bow to the ways of God? It takes the power of God unto salvation. That's the work of the Holy Spirit sent from Christ in the new birth, to apply the Word of God, the truth of the gospel to my heart, and bring me to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. And one of the things that he says that he convicts us of, it says he convicts us of sin because we believe not on Christ. And what he's saying there is that without Christ, it doesn't matter how good I try to be. Should I try to be a good person? Well, of course I should. There's no argument there. There's nothing in this book related to the grace of God that gives me encouragement or leave or freedom just to go about sinning in any form or any way. Nothing. So should I try to be a good person? Yes. But here's what repentance is about. When God brings me to see that my best efforts to be good cannot save me, cannot put away my sins, cannot make me righteous in God's sight, cannot earn eternal life and glory and blessedness for me, and cannot make me put me in a position where I can say I deserve it. That's what the Word of God says. My best efforts will not accomplish that. Only the person and work of Christ in my place as my surety, as my substitute, as my redeemer, as my mediator and intercessor can and has accomplished that. And this is the way I put it all the time. And I tell people, I've been a believer by the grace of God for almost 40 years now. And I preach the gospel for almost 40 years now. But if God were to judge me based upon my best efforts to be an obedient servant, to keep the law, I would perish in a devil's hell. That's what I'm telling you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That was true when I began the race of grace, when God saved me by His grace. It's true today. And when I enter heaven's glory, it'll be true then. Should I try to be a good person? Yes. But all my efforts to be good will fall short, not of man's standard of goodness, but they fall short of the perfection that God requires for salvation and blessedness and a right standing with Him that can only be found in Christ. His glorious person. His finished work. And that's what Christ is saying here. Except you repent, you'll likewise perish. The moment you look at a person and say, well, I know they're going to hell because they're a sinner, you've condemned yourself. Because you're a sinner too. I'm a sinner too. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's true for saved sinners and unsaved sinners. Did you know that? This is where repentance comes in. You know, the Bible says over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me read this. You know, now Peter wrote this epistle to the elect, to believers. In fact, he says that. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's believers. And over here in in 2 Peter chapter 3, he's talking about how some people, you know, the Lord told his disciples, he's coming again, he's coming back. When he arose from the dead because of our justification and he ascended unto glory, he told his, I'll come back, I'm coming back. The second coming of Christ, that's a gospel issue, a gospel truth. But he hasn't come back yet, has he? And some scoffers, unbelievers, they say, well, God, he's not coming back. He's delayed his coming. And they say the Lord's slack on his promise. He's gone back on his promise. And Peter writes this in 2 Peter 3:9. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward. Now, who's the usward there? That's his people. That's his elect. That's not everybody without exception. He says, not willing that any should perish, any of the usward, but that all of the usward should come to repentance. You know why the Lord has not come back yet? Because the appointed day, the appointed time has not come yet. And when will the appointed day and the appointed time come? When the last one of God's chosen people is brought to repentance. That's what he's saying. He's not saying that God has sent preachers into the world to try to persuade people to repent, and God's not going to come back until he persuades a bunch of. Not everybody's going to repent. And man by nature will not repent. Man by nature, as we are naturally born, will not repent or believe. But God's got a people, and he's going to bring them to repentance. Faith in Christ and repentance of dead works and idolatry. Except you repent, you'll perish. Likewise, just like the worst of sinners, because none of us deserve salvation. None of us have earned it. It's all in Christ, his glorious person, his finished work. And when God brings us to faith in him and repentance of dead works, then that's the issue of repentance. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.